Okay, we're back on again.
Okay, my my mother made football for my dad Oscar when he was growing up. They say he used to make really good football. It bounced. She said one time this lady who had a lot of beaver skins asked her to tan the beaver skins and pluck all the guard hair. She said she tanned 10 beaver skins for that lady.
Mm.
And that lady, her name was Akurak. So she tanned 10 beaver skins for her and she plucked the guard hair off and she saved all that guard hair. So she made football for my dad out of tanned caribou skin with hair inside.
Mm.
Then she keep all the caribou hair, she caribou hair and beaver hair, what she, when she make boots with fur inside, you know. The hair is too thick, so they always have to cut part of it off. So she save all that and she put it inside. And with that beaver guard hair, and she said, she used to say that that was the best football she ever made. It bounces really good. And one time, when I was down Coburg, when I was small, I used to watch them play with football too. I stayed with my uncle one time down Coburg. So I watched them. They used to bounce the ball and then they let it land above their knee and then it rolled down their leg. I don't know what that means. I always think just like they, how you call that?
Dribble.
And just like they dribble, except they dribble and then just let it land here and let it roll down. And I used to try to do that and I couldn't.
So how did the winter football games work? I mean, what was the how was the game played?
Okay, the men's and women's, you know, they would pick out so many people, you know, to either side, you know, like the games today, you know, like football games. There would be so many on each side, you know,
and there would be men and women on both teams.
Yeah. Man and woman, both teams. It's kind of even out, you know, that how many there is on the team. So that's just the way they play when I was small, too. I just still remember, since I started to remember. So they have posts down in the end, I don't know, so far. And they would start the football game from the center. From about the center, two guys. Two guys, they would put that football between their feet. Those two guys, one for the north, one for the south leg, you know. They got their feet on that football, two of them. They kind of flip it, and whatever way they it go, they take it down. They work so hard. It take a long time for them to get through those two posts once in a while.
So the one team would have the ball and the other team would try to get it away from
them.
Did they pass it back and forth, kick it back and forth to each other?
One team would be trying to win north way, and the other team is going south way. They don't, and then there would be two posts. The post usually is quite a ways apart.
Long ways.
There would be two posts way over and two posts way down. And then they run with the ball and try to kick it through between those two posts.
Could you touch the ball with your hands?
They touch it every way.
They don't pack it and run, though. You know, they have to kick it to different person, you know, their partner. They kick it back and forth to their partner, and that's how they get close to the post and win sometime. But it did take them a long time. They were so good at it, some people, and I remember. They pack it with their feet even when they jump, you know. When they, somebody running towards them, you know, then would try kick the football, and I used to see them catch it with their 2 feet and jump up, and the guy would miss it under.
Oh my goodness!
They were so used to it.
They must have been really quick on their feet.
Yeah, they were really good in football.
And people played football mostly in the winter then?
Yeah, it was in winter.
Only in winter time.
And this would be like at times when people came together for Thanksgiving
for New Year.
And New Year and stuff.
New Year.
Because I'm just guessing that. I don't know that, but I'm guessing because that would be the only time you'd have enough people maybe to do it.
Yeah. And I don't know how it finally kind of slowed down because there was so much sickness, you know, TB.
Yeah.
People dying with TB. I think that's how it quit. No more football.
Does anybody play at all anymore?
No.
Mary Vent was telling me a little bit about playing football. And I wasn't, you know, we never got into how the game was played, so I'm really glad to have this description. I think that'll be really interesting to young people. Was there a particular place around Allakaket where people
played? The river.
Oh, on the river.
Yeah,
when on the snow, you know, on the river. I think they don't play it if it's not much snow.
Mm-hmm.
They like to play it when there's just right snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they would stake out a place, I guess, in the river.
Was the snow packed down
before
they started?
Yeah, packed just like this floor. After they play some, they start after work, you know. After they work in morning and afternoon. When they have no more work to do in their home.
Mm-hmm.
They all get out on the ice and play football till late.
Moonlight.
Sure. Sure. Well, let's take a little break. We've been going pretty hot and heavy. I'm really glad to have all that account about the football. That's really interesting. Bertha, I'd like to ask you, what kinds of things did your parents do, and maybe especially your mother, do, or maybe other adults that you grew up with, to prepare you to be an adult woman?
Okay, first, they always let us help them cut fish and hang the fish, check the fish net, and go fishing with them. That's putting away food, you know. They'd give us a little knife and have us cut fish and hang it. And pick berries, put away berries and roots, and make little baskets to put away food in. My grandmother, I used to live with my grandmother a lot, so she taught me all that. And other things is they teach us how to scrape caribou lake skins or beaver skin, so we could, that's our share of helping them to make mukluks for ourselves for the winter. Then when we get a little older and we learn to sew, then they cut out the boots for us and let us sew as much as we could and then help us along. Our oldest sister helped us too. And make clothing, make dresses with calico and stuff like that. And cooking, baking. My mother used to bake bread. I didn't learn from her because...
Wait for what?
I didn't learn to cook from my mother. I think I learned from my oldest sister. To bake bread and to cook. My mother died when I was 12 years old. But I learned a little bit to sew because she cut out mukluks for me when I was 11 years old and tack it together here and there and let me sew part of it. Then she finished the rest.
How old were you when you first started sewing?
I was 9 years old and I was staying with my uncle and aunt in Coburg, and my aunt's mother, I call her my grandmother, she was my aunt's mother, and taught me how to sew a little bit mm-hmm. first. And I had hard time. I thought I'd never learn.
Mm.
What I really wanted to do was do beadwork. And I tried and tried. I was around 12 and 13 when I started doing beadwork. People didn't have very much beads them days, and mm-hmm. they valued them really.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't play with them much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to do too was knit socks. Everybody used to have hand-knit socks too,
uh-huh.
with four needles, you
uh-huh.
know.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask you, when you started learning to sew, you used metal needles, didn't you?
Yes, uh-huh. We had all metal needles
mm-hmm.
and thimble.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have enough thimble to go around, so my mother just cut a piece of thick moosekin and sew it together and make little enough to go around so we wouldn't poke our
sure.
Hand.
Sure.
And we used sinew.
Uh-huh.
We always used caribou sinew. And that's all we sew skin with. Only if we sew material things, then we use cloth thread.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can really identify with how hard it is to sew with sinew because I've tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a pair of mittens for my husband that are half made
uh-huh.
because I've tried to sew them all with sinew and it takes so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. And my grandmother wanted to teach me how to fill snowshoes.
Ah.
And when I'm in camp with them, my grandpa used to build snowshoes and she would be filling it and when it get to the easy parts, he used to let me go a couple of rounds, and I thought I really learned. And years later, when I had to fill snowshoes, I found out I didn't even learn. You really have to start from the beginning to learn it. And my grandmother used to tell a story about when she learned to fill snowshoes, they make her take it all off, take it apart,
uh-huh.
take it all apart, then start from scratch until she filled it. And nobody made me do that.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to do it real quick,
yeah.
but I couldn't. It took me years. The first few times I fill it wrong,
uh-huh.
then I keep learning a little bit more
uh-huh.
the right way each time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And it's really lots of fun too, once you learn.
Uh-huh.
Maybe right now I can't, I would have to practice to get
uh-huh.
back again. I don't
uh-huh.
think I remember it all one time.
But you could get that skill back again.
Oh, yes.
You
uh-huh. Once sure. you learn it, you can't really forget it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Johnson, when you were a child, we were talking about toys and growing up and things like that before. Did you have any toys or that were really miniature adult things?
The only toys we had was like the, what Bertha just told you about, the trapping stick we
uh-huh,
call.
Uh-huh.
It was the same game, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the only toys we had. And our
you guys
our
had
dad.
Skis?
Yeah.
Oh, skis.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Did you use poles with them?
No, no. We have to. When we hauling load and
mm-hmm.
stuff, you know. That this is after in April,
mm-hmm.
March and April.
Mm-hmm.
They would tie the skis in front of the sled.
Oh, right.
They tie stick onto the sled, what they
uh-huh.
call G-pole,
uh-huh.
and we hang onto that.
Uh-huh.
And the skis is tied onto the
uh-huh.
dog's tow line.
Uh-huh.
So we kind of stand on it, that's all, to steer
uh-huh.
the sled so it
uh-huh.
wouldn't go off the
but,
trail.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
But they used to have skis to they make out of birch.
Uh-huh.
That's the only kind we see when we were small.
Uh-huh.
They just built skis out of birch. It looked like some of the store skis, except wider
uh-huh.
and not as long. And they stand on it with nothing, no poles, just nothing down the hill.
Did you have a strap or anything?
Oh, they had strap on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Just moosekin strap. One strap
uh-huh.
like that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The strap.
How did they attach the skis to the tow line?
Oh, they carve out a little place, you know. I mean, to the front.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Right up the point, you know, at the top, at the bend.
The tip?
Yeah, uh-huh. Right on the tip. You have a little hole in there to tie the rope on. Yeah, that's how it tied onto the toe line.
Uh-huh. There's skis with dogs too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you would ski with just like one dog or two dogs to pull you?
Yeah, about three dogs.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Three or four dogs. But when we started hauling boat to spring camp, we used to combine dog team from different people, and we drive about 10 at the most.
So that I see you've got a drawing there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is the tow line
that
goes to the dogs,
yeah.
And there's dogs right here. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so you're straddling the tow line between the sled and the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then holding the G-pull to steer it.
Yeah.
So you just stand on the skis, you know, and steering the sled same time in the back.
You wouldn't want to fall down, would you?
No.
They're too strong to fall down.
Yeah.
That's all that's hanging on to them is that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to stand behind the sled while Johnson is in the skis, down the hill, up the hill.
Wow.
And,
it would take some strength, I would think, to
make
that.
I think you have to get used to it.
Uh-huh.
And there's some more games I was going to tell you about what I never really see, you know.
Uh-huh.
They just tell us about it when, while we were growing up, you know.
Do tell us about them.
And fall time when it started to get dark and all the young boys would get together. My grandpa, Big William, told me about it. They all sit around the fire, you know, they have igloo and they have open fire and kind of bright light for them. I guess they sit around. They get all the young boys together and tell them, okay, they kind of camp, you know. Tomorrow, we're going to make a loop on short rope, some kind of, you know, baby's rope.
Mm-hmm.
You just tie a knot on this little eye on it, you know. And because it's, the days is so short, you know, in fall. And this one person would hide it out there in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get little short poles and they poke into the snow. They say, if I poke through that eye, then lift it up, then that days gone, longer days will come back right away. So these are days after days, they go after that eye on that rope, the height, you know, under the snow. Somebody would know where it is. Every evening, Grandpa said he'd work on it. We never did play that one, you know. I don't know why.
That's an old game.
Old game, really old game. And another thing is that storytelling, you know, the fairy tale storytelling. Everybody used to get ready for that in fall time when it started to get dark early. That was the story. And after New Year, no more stories. Because after the day started to get long, then no more stories. But from summertime, when it started to get dark, from that time on, I think it's about middle of August to December. That far detail stories. Okay, anything else?
Can you think of any other games? Have we got most of the ones that you can think of for the moment?
I can't really think of any kind of games that would be really.
If others come to you, we can always come
back.
Yeah,
okay, we could do that,
Let's kind of move on a little bit now and talk about what it was like to be an older teenager and a young person as you were growing up and how the two of you met and got together. Can we talk about that a little bit?
I think Bertha understand more than
you.
Okay, yeah. You know, I never
You don't have to tell any secrets. That's
I never really understand sometimes, you know, the English. That's why I have
What I mean is, you know, when you were 17, 18, 19, 19, as I remember, you said when you were 16, your Big William stopped going out to camp, and you went out to camp with, I think you said, your older brother?
Yeah.
Okay. And then What was your routine like then? What was your daily life like then? And how did you eventually get together with Bertha?
Oh, that's...
Married first.
Yeah, I was married before.
Uh-huh.
When I was 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
The people, them days, you know, 1940, before, you know,
mm-hmm.
people used to try marry their daughter off or their son, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or people would ask different family that if they have son, you know, mm-hmm. these people would ask the different family, our son will marry your daughter, you know, just like that, you know.
So the parents kind of arranged?
Yeah,
things?
The parents, yeah.
Ah.
And also the chief of the village, they call chief, you know,
uh-huh.
will say, that guy should get married. You know, they don't even think how old a person is, you know, he might even be 18, you know, nobody knows.
Yeah. And
if, as long as the man is big man, I guess. So when I was 19, I got married. And that woman didn't live very long. She died when I was 23. And I don't want to stay single, you know, because mm-hmm. my grandpa talked with me so much while I was growing.
Mm-hmm.
He told me, there's nobody in this world that live alone, he said,
mm-hmm.
men especially, he said,
mm-hmm.
because if you start to live alone, he said, you're going to get into so much trouble, he said. You're going to have problem all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's how it got to me that I don't stay single, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So after that first wife of mine died, and I stayed about 1 year, I guess, that's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm. Did she have TB or something?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of sickness she had. Anyway, she died,
though.
You know. Yeah, she was sick for a long time.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, there was nobody knew what was wrong with people. And we didn't have no kids. How I want to get married that time was my cousins, you know, they all getting married. They have little kids, you know.
Uh-huh.
And,
uh-huh.
and I didn't grow up with big family, you know, so I kind of want have little ones of my own.
Sure.
Because I was babysitter till I was 13 years
you
old.
You were experienced.
Yeah, I was babysitter. And I want to have my own children.
Sure.
Because my grandpa already told me that someday I'm going to have my children. So.
Had you known Bertha very long at that point?
Yes, she grew mm-hmm. up same place, same village.
So you had both been aware of each other as
no,
younger people?
I never. He used to fight with me when we go to school, even he was way older. That's the only time I know him is when he... fight with me, that's all.
You gave her a hard time, huh?
And she used to, when I was growing, you know, I didn't know how old I was. She was just a small girl, you know,
yeah.
She went back and forth in the village, I guess, and I was cooking outdoors in the springtime, you know, for myself.
Uh-huh.
I would be about 18, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Or 17.
Uh-huh.
Just before 4th of July. You know, nobody teach us how to cook, you know, how to mix the pancake dough right way
uh-huh.
or anything. Just
uh-huh.
all you have to do is you pour water in it and stir it up a little bit, you know, then
uh-huh.
fry it in grease. And there's little black spots here and there, and she was kind of smiling looking at my pancake. So I guess that's how she fell in love with me.
Oh.
Nice.
She fell in love with your pancakes.
Yeah, with pancakes. Yeah. I always tell her a story about that one. You know.
So, you were how old when you and Bertha got married?
I was 23.
You were 23.
Mm-hmm.
And how old were you then, Bertha?
No, you were 24.
I was 24,
I was
18,
yeah. You were 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You try to make yourself young.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 24, yeah.
By 1 year, huh?
Yeah.
When you got together, did you live together for a while before you had
a
ceremony?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We lived together a long time. There was no no priest in the village that time. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No, they come about once a year.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Several people have told me about, mm-hmm.
but
know, yeah.
the
yeah.
mission, the
it.
Missionary have to know though, mm-hmm. when people, then that's just like the first wedding, I guess. Mm-hmm. Then they have dance, and that's just like the first wedding. The missionary have to know though, mm-hmm. when somebody starts living together.
Mm-hmm. Is there any kind of celebration then? I'm not sure I understand correctly. Is there a celebration when you start living together, or is
some
that...
people do? They uh-huh. have. They always call it wedding dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wedding dance tonight. Uh-huh. They say
yeah.
they have uh-huh. wedding dance.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Does it happen very much, or did it happen very much, that people started living together and then would find that they really didn't get along very well with each other and then would not actually stay together very long?
No. I think when in those days, when two people start living together, they make a commitment, like...
Okay.
And they're maybe if they separate, then, you know, it doesn't look good to everybody.
Sure.
And nobody does that them days.
Uh-huh.
They,
uh-huh.
Maybe very few people. But when my grandma tells story about long ago, a lot of people used to live together and then separate
uh-huh.
a lot.
Uh-huh.
But they didn't do that when we were growing up much. Maybe it was because the missionaries were there too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. While we're talking about the missionaries, I'd like to ask a couple questions about the missionaries. You've both mentioned them several times. How many missionaries were there in Allakaket when you were growing up?
There was two ladies
mm-hmm.
all the way through.
Uh-huh.
From one delivered me.
Uh-huh.
She was an RN.
Uh-huh.
And I was 23 years old when she left. And so she was there way before I was born, I guess.
Oh,
and the other one, when I don't know when she come, shortly after I was born, I guess, she was my teacher
uh-huh.
ever since I was 6 years old up to when I was 14 years old.
Why?
Then that's all. That's all teacher I saw. One.
Uh-huh.
One teacher in a little log cabin with
uh-huh.
one teacher.
Do you remember their names?
Miss Hill and Miss Kay, we called them, but they were Amelia H. Hill and Bessie C. Kay.
Uh-huh.
And
was Miss Hill the nurse?
Yes,
uh-huh.
she was the nurse, and she was she was not really big, but she was just a strong person.
Mm-hmm.
Just she used to drive dogs. She run her motorboat in summer, and she even run their light plants to charge their battery for electricity and do everything.
She must have been a remarkable
really
person.
Strong
mm-hmm.
person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was ever sick in her life. I
oh,
don't
goodness.
Think so. Healthy.
Uh-huh. And then after they left, were they the last missionaries that were there?
No. After they left, there was a man and his wife, the first priest to live there.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stayed about a couple of years. And from then on, his wife was an RN.
Mm-hmm.
From
mm-hmm.
then on, we had a priest and their wife is RN about four or five different times. In a row,
mm-hmm.
right after the two ladies left.
Mm-hmm.
And the two ladies used to can, they used to have a big garden, they can and put away, they harvest their
mm-hmm.
garden, and they have food all year, and they had fish, people give them fish and
uh-huh.
meat, and they,
uh-huh.
They liked our food too,
uh-huh.
the way we eat.
They must have been remarkable people.
Mm-hmm. They were just like, after my mother died, when they left 1953, when they left, I just felt really bad, just like my parents left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way a lot of us felt,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
they sort of look after us after, especially the orphans, I guess. We don't stay with them, but, you know, we kind of hang around them all the time.
Sure, sure. So, where did you live after you got married?
After we got married, we lived with my wife's dad, you know, for a while. We didn't have no house of our own, so we kind of lived close to him. This was up the Alatna River. And
can you give us the name of that place?
Alatna River?
No, the place where he lived. You said it was up the Alatna River.
Oh, yeah. He used to live around Blackjack and Dubkrok and up Makajulaga. That's where he trapped Martin.
Us, Simeon. Oh, you were asking. Nobody asked Johnson to marry me. Not like, it was not set up by anybody. They were, I guess they were kind of against it a little bit, maybe. Maybe, you know, I always think anyway.
But was that because you were from Latina and Eskimo and he was...
I think it, on my side, I think it was because they thought I was... way younger or something. Even only 6 years, you know. I don't know how people used to marry their age, within their age mostly. But sometimes their one is way older. Not too often.
You're not that much apart.
No, I didn't notice.
So you, the two of you decided to get married. It wasn't arranging it.
No,
for
nobody
you.
Arranged it.
Yeah, I was the one asked. Because while I was grown, you know, well, I want to marry people that is not my relative. I want to know you first, because my grandfather really put that into me. Don't ever marry your cousins, your relative. Remember, he said, if you don't marry, get married somebody who is not your relative.
Did you have to go to Bertha's father and talk to him, or did you talk to Bertha?
No, he was just a nice, he's just a nice man. So he never said anything when I started hang around Bertha, and he never said anything. He's still today, like he's like a mother and a dad.
That's really nice. Did you have to learn some Inupiaq?
Yeah, I was learning real good, and after a while, I never lived around them anymore. Then I kind of forgot, but I know a few words. But Bertha really learned my language, though, because I use my language a lot. I talk with her in my own language.
So you... It sounds like the first few years you traveled a lot with Oscar and his family then. And then, when did you start traveling separate from him, or living separate from him?
After a while, I don't know how I kind of moved away from him, because I think because of him start to work in different places. He used to work for public health. I think that's how I didn't trap with him anymore. Because he would travel different villages now than that time, yeah. So I started traveling with different people then. Since I was small, my grandfather told me, you always have to learn how to get along with people, travel with anybody, go out with anybody for trapping. If they ask you to, go with them. Try to learn how to get along with other people. And that was kind of hard for me, because I don't know, I like to have my own way. You know, but yet I learned lots from the different people. Yeah, I really learned a lot. That was part of my school, like, you know, working different ways. People working on boat or houses. That's where they teach us. they tell us, when somebody start building houses, even while we were small,
mm-hmm.
you know, they use moss for chinking the house or something, or sometimes we use drag saw to saw the big lock,
mm-hmm.
saw it off, mm-hmm. and they put us in there to just handle that saw a little bit, or pack moss for chinking,
mm-hmm.
just
mm-hmm.
to help, just to learn how to work.
Mm-hmm.
Building boat, you hang on to the wood while they're hammering it, and you hold it in place where they tell you to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of look at them, see how they work it. So on your turn to build your own boat, you just know what to do.
Mm. So by watching.
Just watching, you, yeah.
And observing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the things that always strikes me about people from your area. It seems like learning to observe, to watch animals, to watch how people do things is a very important thing. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
That's really right, yeah.
But it seems to me that that's a skill that people talk about mm-hmm. a lot.
Yeah. See, our older people in detail us. When we start go out alone hunting, you always have to watch where you go,
mm-hmm.
where you walk, or, mm-hmm. or when you see an animal long ways, or sometime close by, you have to look at the animal good first. You say, don't get excited. No matter what, if animal, even if it's close,
mm-hmm.
don't get excited, because we don't want you guys to make a mistake. There's people all over the world, they say. People all over the world always move around. And if you're nervous, you're going to make mistakes, sure. So you be really careful. How many times old people tell us, or they put us one place, tell a story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they have bear party for men,
mm-hmm.
no women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For boys, little boys and men.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they used to tell us the stories.
Mm, mm. So how long after you got married did your children start to come along?
Right after we got married.
Uh-huh. How many children do you have?
We had 11, but we lost one.
Oh, my.
We have 6 daughters and 4 sons right now.
My goodness. Can you... Who is your oldest child?
Cora.
Cora.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She's married and she has 2 girls.
Uh-huh.
Brookman, our oldest son, is the next one.
Uh-huh.
He has a girlfriend, he has 4 children.
Uh-huh.
Virginia is the next one. She's married and she has an adopted son. Kathy. Our daughter Kathy is the next one. She have 2 girls.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara, she's living in Hughes. She have a boyfriend. She have 1 girl.
Mm-hmm.
And our next one, our daughter Sherry, she's out in Seattle. You know, she's the one that is not well, you know.
Mm.
She have a little boy.
Mm.
And the next one was the one died,
mm-hmm.
Johnson Jr.
Mm.
The one died. And the next one is Rudy. You have a girlfriend, you have 1 little girl. And the next one is Ross. You don't have no girlfriend. I guess too many girlfriends. Mm-hmm. I always tell them that. Mm-hmm. When you have girlfriend, you have 1 girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what my grandpa told me. If mm-hmm. you have too many girlfriends, then first thing you're going to end up with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
All the girls wouldn't look at you no more.
Oh.
When you have 1 girlfriend, that's yours.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You don't look for no other girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
You don't have this whole bunch for nothing.
Uh-huh.
My grandpa. So I keep telling our boys, but I don't know, today young boys are different. So Ross didn't. Anyway, he must have a girlfriend, but I don't know. And the next one is our daughter, Brenda. She's uh-huh. living in Chilwick right now, she's uh-huh. with her boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And the baby is going to be 17 this next few days.
Oh my.
He's going to school down Nulato. Uh-huh. He'll be back next week.
Uh-huh. And what's his name?
Calvin.
Calvin. Well, that's quite a crew. My goodness, mm-hmm. They must have kept you busy when they were all young, and you know.
I didn't feel it though. I enjoyed them so much, and they were about a year and a half apart. Sometimes almost 2 years, and sometimes very few was 2 years. But they were, the closest was 14 months apart.
Uh-huh.
And we had to do diapers for two. We never used Pampers.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there was Pampers them days, we couldn't afford to use Pampers.
Sure.
And I used to wash diapers by hand.
Mm.
I think I washed diapers for 20 and a half years.
Oh my goodness.
And by hand. And then after a while we bought a gas washer.
Uh-huh.
And what a luxury, that noise and all. How easy clothes got washed.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, when I go to bed early, I used to go to bed 11 o'clock. That's early.
Oh, nice.
But most of the time it's real late, lots of other things to do. And they were really good kids. They get a lot of discipline. And the only thing I am really sorry and I could never erase is I started to drink in about just before I had the last one. But then I stopped for a while and then started again after I had him. And for some years I drank. I drank just enough to feel not too tired or things like that for a while.
Mm.
Just enough to relax. That's what I was going to say. Just enough to relax for a long time. Seems like it was years. Then finally, I couldn't control it anymore. And I was so glad when we finally stopped drinking again. And I was trying to, right away I found out I was not doing the right thing. If I could just take it back, then I would never drink and take even better care of my kids then. I think I make them sad a lot when I used to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And I regret that really bad, you know. I'm saying this so some other people will know before they make that same mistake I did. And
I think you have a lot of courage to talk about that.
Oh, yes. I can talk about it. I want everybody to know it could be done. You know, you can make up your mind and then you can stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go talk with a priest and they talk with me. And then that's only where I had to stop was talk with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I
mm-hmm.
couldn't do it on my own. I found out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can start another one again.
Right. Yep. Yeah.